our lives. And we're in great and we thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us could ever prosper. That we walk in your safety. We walk in your protection. We walk in your healing. We walk in your provision. And no man can pluck us out of your hand. We rest in your mercy and your goodness. And we thank you that it follows us all the days of our life. So we pull up to your table tonight. You have it prepared in the presence of our enemies. And there's nothing they can do about it. We thank you for your anointing, that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God that does us good and makes us glad, that it moves in this place tonight. Now I thank you, Lord God, we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive what you're speaking to each and every one of us, for our personal lives and destinies, and even to our corporate joining together for the advancement of the kingdom. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen, amen, amen. Well, greet those around you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's always good to go. It's gooder to get back. Praise the Lord. And good to see your smiling face tonight. Your victorious expression. Your overcoming smile. Hallelujah. Victory is sweet. Praise the Lord. We had a good time with Pastor Danny and, you know, the solar eclipse encounter. And, you know, our God's a miracle-working God. And Mama Alberta and I were sitting down waiting for one of the services to start. And this young lady came up to us and she said, Pastor Philip, I want to thank you, and I want to show you a picture. I said, okay. So she gets her phone out, and she's showing me this, and she says, look. And we're looking at this little fat baby, four months old, and she said, thank you for, and she went like this, praying for me. I said, okay. Because, you know, I pray for a lot of people, and I didn't even recognize her, you know, as far as facial recognition. And she said, I said to her, well, what is it? She said, look, he's 4 months old, look at, and he's a little chubby guy and carrying on. And my initial thought is, well, she couldn't have a baby or something, you know, and last time I was there, prayed, you know, and she conceived. We've seen that many, many times. And she said, my baby was diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb. You know, they can do that now. They can tell, right? And that's where a lot of women choose to abort. And my baby had Down syndrome, and I didn't want that, but I wanted my baby. And you prayed for me, and you spoke to God to do a creative miracle in my womb, and that Down syndrome left, and he's a perfectly healed child. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that he's ahead of his age for 4 months. So And that's not taking a shot at Down syndrome children. You know, we're not saying that, you know, are you following saying? But it's a miracle. And the miracles started popping up there. And I, you know, I could tell you a few of them, but we're going to get in the Word. But that one's a standout to me. I've never seen that happen in my years of ministry, that chromosome, yeah, had to be altered inside that womb. But how many of you know God created the chromosome? He ain't got no problem turning them babies around or switching them around. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Pastor Elizabeth and Deontay did a great job for you all while I was gone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8. And let's put our eyes on verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 8, 8. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, a lot of times, myself included, we'll take verse 9 because it's a master key scripture. It's one of the five exchanges, a substitutionary work, right? How Jesus became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, he became a curse to redeem us from the curse, could be rich. Now, your idea of rich is relevant to you. Your idea of rich might be, you know, a trailer. Your idea of rich might be a 2,500-square-foot home. It might be a 5,000-square-foot, 15,000, whatever. And I'm using houses just to see wherever you are above and beyond your ability to get it just in your own strength. Are you following what I'm saying? Jesus became poor that you and I could be made rich. Now, a lot of Christians have a problem when you start saying that four-letter word, rich. But they have no problem saying that four-letter word, poor. I have been poor, and I have been rich. Rich is a whole lot better than poor. Come on now. I'm not where I'm going, but I'm not where I've been. Hallelujah. And so right here, sandwiched between verse 8 and 10, is this verse. But in verse 8, he talks about the forwardness. Look what it says again. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. And in verse 10, he says it this way again. He says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So the subject matter is not staying where you are, but going forward. I want to talk to you tonight about forwardness. Because the devil wants to shut us down. You ever notice that? He just wants to put the fire out in what we are walking in. But how many of you know the fire that you have is eternal? You know, they have that eternal flame at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier that's been burning for decades, right? And if man can come up with a way to keep a flame going for, that never goes out, no matter what season it is, well, surely God, who created man, can put a fire in you and I that never goes out, right? Oh, I know there's times when it seems like the fire is not really where it needed to be. It might have even just been like a smoking flax. Remember that? But he'll not let it go out. Amen. So forwardness is the context about not staying in this particular place. Now, if you back up in chapter 8, which we're not because I got too many places to go, he's talking to the poor saints in Macedonia that found out about the truth of sowing and receiving, so on and so forth, and they made up their mind, we're not staying here. Now, understand, a lot of you, God has blessed you to a certain degree. Your life is not how it used to be, and that's wonderful. But it's not where God intends for you to stop, neither. Come on now. And we thank God for everything that he's done up until now. But we are in the midst of the greatest move of God that the church has ever seen. And listen, it's going to take a lot of resources. It's going to take a whole lot of money to be able to take care of the harvest that's coming in. You know, I want a Bible school. I want a recovery facility. I want a single mama facility. I want all these things that we can take them in, right, and pour the Word of God into them in an atmosphere that we know is truthful and that there's no catches to it. But to do that, it takes money, right? To do that, it takes resources. And in our current manifestation, we can't do that. See, we're still working on phase two, right? And by the way, the rails came in for phase two for the balcony. Yeah, they're painting the backdrop of the stage upstairs. The carpet is in for Elder Fantley and Pastor Elizabeth's offices. We'll be moving them in shortly. The columns have been ordered. So we're doing what we can do with what we got, right? And that's the whole thing about Operation Faith. We do what we can do, and God then does what he'll do. If you just sit down and don't do nothing, God don't do nothing, see? But when you do what you can do, then God shows up and helps out. How many of you like it when God helps out? Praise the Lord. So we're looking tonight at forwardness, going forward, not staying in the same place. And in this particular context, it's talking about poverty and being redeemed from it through the substitutionary work of Jesus, right? And he became poor that we through his poverty could become rich. And I tell you, religious folk don't like this. When I say religious folk, I'm talking about people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They don't like it when you start talking about money, when you start talking about being rich, but yet they'll go home and listen to the TV guy talk about it and have no problem with it. Well, that preacher, all he wants is your money. Well, that's all Walmart wants is your money. That's all Kroger wants is your money. Come on. And all I when they say that preacher just wants your money, they don't understand. They don't realize what the preacher does with that money. Come on now. We got staff that we take care of that run this ministry. We got electricity on right now. You know, heating bills and air conditioning bills and all that. You know, this you just don't walk in here and everything just fall into place, right? There's natural things that sustain this supernatural house, Right? And so we're looking at forwardness. How to move forward in from this place. And in this context, these people were in poverty. These people were poor big time. And they did not let their condition stop them from moving forward. And notice in verse 10, it says that they became, or that they began, verse 10, yes. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So a year earlier, they got a hold of this and said, wait a minute. We're going forward in this thing. We're not going back up. This has nothing to do with the economy. This has nothing to do with their employment. This has everything to do with the spiritual law of seed time and harvest, right? Now, it will affect how you handle the economy. It will affect your employment. Are you following this? So we're looking then at going forward or forwardness. Now, let me give you a definition of forward. Being at or belonging to the forepart. How many of you know we're a leading edge church? Come on. How many of you know we're a leading edge church? We're out in front. Being at or belonging to the forepart, moving or leading towards a position in front, an advanced policy in the direction of progress. And I like this. Getting ready for the future. When you are going forward in your life, you are getting ready for the future. Don't miss this now, because this is what these saints in Corinth were doing. They, a year earlier, heard something, and they said, well, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't have to be broke no more. We don't have to be in this condition anymore. And they made up their mind, we going forward. Are you following this? And they got ready for the future. Your future is out in front of you, but it doesn't happen just because another day, another week, another month, another year went by. It doesn't happen like that. Your future, well, I mean, a cursed future can happen like that. You know, that's why the world says, well, you know, you just got to roll with the punches out there. I roll with them punches. It hurt, right? And I found out I could punch. I didn't have to roll with the punches. I could be the one punching, right? Right? And so you and I have the ability with God to get ready for the future. Now, why are we building phase two? I mean, this is good enough. We got empty chairs right here. We're getting ready for the future. Come on now. They are coming, right? And what God's going to do in these last days, there's no phase two ain't going to hold it, right? But you and I can't sit and just be satisfied where we're at. Right? We have to get ready for the future. That's why the Bible says, blessed is he that sows beside all waters. Right? And God diversifies your financial portfolio. He'll have you get involved with this over here, getting sow seed over there, sow seed over. What's he doing? He's getting you ready for the future. He's getting you out in front of crooked politicians. Out in front of a crazy economy, out in front of rumors of wars and so on and so forth. He gets you and I out in front of all that mess. See, the world's crazy right now. And there's a whole lot of people walking around in fear. I mean, it's everywhere. But you and I, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Thank God for that word. Because if you and I were just born again and didn't have no word to stand on, I mean, you know, let's just go in a corner somewhere and say, Jesus, come quickly. But he has a plan. And the devil ain't going to outdo Jesus. They tried to do that at Calvary and got their butts kicked. I got a long ways to go. I hope you understand it's Friday night. Right? Come on now. And so you and I, forwardness then, ness, the suffix, is the state of being. Right? So the state of being ready for the future. The state of being ready for the future. And those scriptures bear it out. That they saw, wait a minute, our future don't have to be like it has in the past, where we were just scraping to get by. And they started doing something and applying those principles that the Apostle Paul was teaching. They'd never heard about tithing. They never heard about seed time and harvest. They never heard about giving offerings. They knew about blood sacrifices, some of them. They knew about that, but they didn't know about this new way of operating in the economy of the kingdom. They didn't know that. And when they heard that, they said, whoa, 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 time out here. Are you trying to say this, this, this? And the Apostle Paul saying, yes, yes, yes. And they said, well, we're all in. And it didn't look like they were all in. I mean, they were just, I mean, they didn't have nothing. But God gives a little seed to a sower, right? And in their mind, they said, like those four lepers, why sit we here till we die, right? So I'm going to take you on a forwardness journey tonight, all right? We're not staying where we're at. Go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what will stop you and I from moving forward is what we've experienced in the past. That's what will stop you and I from going forward. And that's what's so powerful about being where the word's being taught, hearing the testimonies, encouraging one another, and letting the Spirit of God continually lead you and I into greater dimensions of manifestation, right? Now, the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Y'all remember this? Let go, grab a hold, right? And you've heard preachers talk about you can't drive your car looking in the rearview mirror. You got this big windshield, right? Every now and then you glance up there to see who's behind you. But if you just tried to drive looking back, too many people looking back and trying to get to their destination, it doesn't work that way. You got a wide open vision in front of you, right? And you got you looking back. And that's why the Bible says, laying aside every weight and sin which so easily besets you. And so the enemy tries to come in when you put things under the blood, and he'll try to say, yeah. And he'll bring shame. He'll bring regret. He'll bring condemnation. He'll bring all this stuff up to try to get you to be all bummed out. And what's he got you doing? Looking backwards instead of forwardness. Listen to me tonight, because this church is in a very good position. Very good position for God to move. Now look at this in the Living Bible. Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be. How many of you know you ain't all you're supposed to be yet? You know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, new creation and all that. But as far as in manifestation, what God has gifted you and called you to do, that's not in full manifestation. Right? I am still not all I should be, but I am bringing, watch this now, I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. I'm taking all my focus. I'm taking all my concentration. I'm taking all my meditation. I'm focusing because look, those surfers out there that surf the ocean wave, they pass up all kinds of waves looking for that big one. They're looking for that big one to catch it so that they are on the ride of their life. And when they have those surfing competitions, a lot of it relies on their ability to catch the right wave. You might have somebody that's a better surfer, but they didn't catch the right wave. Come on now. And when that wave comes, you got to be ready for the future. And so they go out there, they're paddling, on their little surfboard, and they're going up and down. No, that ain't it. No, that ain't it. No, here it comes. And I'm trying to tell you, here it comes. And when it's coming, we got to turn around and ride this wave. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout early. That's a weak shout. Somebody shout in here. Hallelujah. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Looking forward to what lies ahead. In other words, something is trying to capture my soul to get me to look on the past. But I have to keep looking at what lies ahead. You know, you've heard this multiple times. Who was it? Thomas Edison that created the light bulb, right? Hundreds of times he failed, right? But he said, well, that's just one way it doesn't work. He didn't say, oh, I failed again. He said, oh, now I know that don't work. I'm going to find the one that does. Come on now. Are you following this? So bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Boy, you listen to champions and what they do to be champions. Is they cut a lot of stuff out of their life, and they bring things into their lives, right? And they replace those things that they cut out of their life with necessary things in their life. And when they make these transitions, all of a sudden, things begin to change in their life. Well, Jesus, through his substitutionary work, made those changes for us. All we have to do is become obedient to what he lines out for us, because your destiny fulfillment and my destiny fulfillment, our obedience can be two different things. Are you following? What he tells me to do, he might never tell you to do that. What he tells you to do, he might never tell me to do that, right? But he's not going to tell any of us to sin. Hallelujah, right? Are you following this? And so forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Because the enemy tries to just drag you down with pain, with bills, with where is it and how come time factor and all that. You know, I can't go there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at forward looking. Look at the definition for forward looking. Concerned with or planning for the future. Now I added to it forward momentum. You know, when you have that forward momentum, it's hard to stop. But forward looking is concerned with or planning for the future. Have any of you been planning for the future? I dare say all of you have been planning for the future. That your life, you're not going to just accept life where it currently is. No matter how good it may be, no matter how much God has blessed you where you are at. See, you know what happens when seniors retire and they have no future plans. They die. It's statistic. I mean, it's statistical. They die because they have no future plan. And because they don't have no future plan, they don't feel like they have any purpose. You can only golf so much. You can only sit on the beach so much. You can only be on your front porch so much. You can only play card games so much. Right? And without any plan for the future, that's why people that live long and live strong, they realize they have a purpose. I can't die now. Got something I got to do. And not something I got to do. Something I got to see. Something that has to be revealed. I haven't done all this to leave the planet just to say, hey, I gave it a good shot down there. No. Mm-mm. Right? So forward looking. We're talking about forwardness. We're talking about the state of living forward. We're talking about being ready for the future. We're talking about forward momentum. We're talking about the plans that God has, that you have lined up your life with those plans, and your future is bright. Your future is bright. Come on, somebody. Stay with me tonight. Your future is not this chaotic mess that's going on in America. That's not your future. What your future is the kingdom of God advancing and taking over and being such a vital voice into all this chaos that people that are desperate finally admit this ain't working. And they're looking at your life and they're seeing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, light shining. And they run to the light. Come on, somebody. All right. The 2 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. I preached this to myself about 3 times today, so I know where I'm going. 2 Corinthians 4, let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You say, well, Pastor, that's a long moment. Seems like that moment, and me and God need to have a talk. Because his moment and my moment are two different moments. Yeah. Well, when manifestation comes, I'm talking about a game changer. When it comes, that fight of faith that you endured through and you stood through, when you give the testimony, I mean, it's like, I mean, it was hell that you went through, right? But when you're giving your testimony, it's such a great testimony that it overwhelms the hell that you went through, right? So for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now look at this again in the Living Bible, verse 18. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not seen. Now, we ain't talking about when we go to heaven. We're talking about the joys that are in heaven, that are in the kingdom, that we can bring into this three-dimensional world. We can bring that fourth dimension joy and manifestation into this world. Days of heaven on earth, right? So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward. We look forward. You're going on that vacation, and it's a week away, and you're talking about it to your spouse or to your kids or to your coworkers, and you're saying, hey, in a week, we're headed to the beach. We're in a week. We're headed to the islands in a week, whatever, whatever, whatever. We're headed to the mountains, whatever, whatever, right? You are looking forward. Even though you got a week that you're at work, you got a week that you're still passing through, you're already getting ready for the future. You're already making plans for that trip. You are looking forward to it. Follow this, because the devil tries to rob us of looking forward. Why? How's he do that? Troubles all around us. All those troubles all around us. See? So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward. This is forwardness. We look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over. You better listen up. Somebody reach out with your faith tonight. Whatever you've been walking through, whatever you've been standing on, whatever's tried to hold you down, whatever's been trying to hinder you, whatever's been trying to quench your fire, what it looks like a million miles away, the troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. If you believe that, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah! That pain will soon be over. That debt will soon be over. That house situation will soon be over. That transportation will soon be over. That employment will soon be over. That marriage situation will soon be over. Whatever it may be, it will soon be over, and the joy of heaven is going to hit your life. Shout! Hallelujah! I'm happy already. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. troubles over. You're going to be glad you stayed with it. And who you stayed with, that devil, that troubler, he messed with the wrong people. He messed with the wrong believers. He messed with God's covenant kids. And we will not be denied.
Well, I sure hope so.
You know, when I was in Ohio at the eclipse, and some of you saw it, some of you were there. But it says that in Luke 22 that Jesus talking to Simon Peter, he says, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And that word fail is eclipso in the Greek, where we get our English word eclipse. An eclipse is more than just a moon going in front of the sun. That's a solar eclipse. But eclipse is anything. The definition of eclipse is a celestial body covering another celestial body. That's how they define eclipse, right? Well, guess what? You are a celestial body. You're seated in heavenly places. Come on now. And that devil is a celestial body. And he tries to eclipse. And notice what the devil was after when he's trying to sift Simon Peter. He was trying to eclipse his faith. He was trying to eclipse his faith. Now, the verb form of eclipse means to supersede. It means to outdo. See? Are you following this? And so, you and I, the devil, tries to eclipse our faith by convincing us, discouraging us, that it's never going to happen. Disappointment, fear, circumstances that he tries to arrange, and so on and so forth. But God already has a plan way ahead of the devil. How many of you know Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation, before the foundation of the world? God had a plan that superseded 4,000 years, right? Well, God's got a plan even when you make a mistake. Even when you do something goofy and you go to God and say, God, I did something goofy. I repent of that. No problem. I planned ahead. I planned ahead and I knew your heart was a repentant heart. So I'm going to take what the devil meant for evil and I'm going to turn it around for good. The trouble is over. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. See? Hallelujah. So it's your faith that the enemy wants to eclipse. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you that it be not eclipsed. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Luke chapter 9. We're talking about forwardness. Luke chapter 9. And let's put our eyes on verse 62. Luke 9 and 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, no woman, having put his or her hand to the plow and doing what? Looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So what Jesus is saying here is, if you want to be fit for the kingdom, then once you put your hands to the plow, don't look back. Don't look back. Because if you look back, you're going to get off course. Now, you've heard me tell this before, but when I was a little kid, my daddy, he was a Wisconsin dairy farmer, orchard, country boy, German, metal guy, tool and die guy. So he worked the farm and then worked in the factory, tool and die. And when we moved to Kentucky, to Wilmore, he was used to having all this field, and there's nothing there. And so he took all the neighbors' plots and made him a field. And in our backyard, we didn't have a little garden plot. I mean, that was a perfect place for a football field and everything else, and it got them all plowed under. Because Dad gonna feed the whole neighborhood. Because all of our neighbors were old folk, and he said, you give me that property and I'll take care of all the food you want. Boy, I tell you, he did. But I'm a little fella, and I would get out there, and those crops would start coming up, and Dad was big into cultivating, and he'd take that rototiller, and he'd take those outside tines off. And because if he left the outside tines on, it would destroy the crops that were coming up. And so all you had was a rototiller has four tines on it, at least the ones we had growing up. And when you initially are breaking up the dirt, you need all four of them, and it's pretty easy to keep it balanced, right? But when you take those two outside ones off, now all you got is the inside ones. You got to have some sappy to keep it going straight. And Pop would, when it would get dry out there, he'd take those outside tines off, and he'd go right down the middle of, you know, those whatever, carrots and beets and peas and tomatoes and whatever, and break up that ground so when it would rain, it would help cultivating, right? Well, I'm watching him do that, you know, and I would walk behind him. And he had, you know, and Dad was so precise, his steps were just so evenly put down. And I'd take my little feet and I'd put it right where his right foot was and his left foot was and his right foot was and left foot was, all the way to the end of the row. And I watched everything he did. And finally, one day I said, Daddy, I can do that. He said, do what? I said, I can do what you do. He said, you can. I said, yes, sir, I can. And you got to understand, my eyes and face are handlebar heights. Right? And he said, you want to do it? I said, yeah, I want to do it. I can do that, Daddy. So he turned that thing around, and he said, boy, don't you hit none of those plants. He reached over there and threw that thing in gear, and boy, here I go. And that thing's trying to flip on me, and I'm using all my little 50 pounds or 60 pounds, however much, and I'd get all the way over on this side, pull that thing back over and back all the way down through there. Got all the way to the other end of that thing, and I'm thinking, how am I going to stop this? And I said, this is going to hurt. But I didn't hit no plant. This is going to hurt. So I jump up while that thing's still going forward and grabbed all that thing and pulled it back, and it stopped. And I'm like, and I look back, and my dad is laughing, right? And that it went just like this, but I didn't hit a single plant. Now, if I'd have looked back, I said, if I'd have looked back. Now, Mom came out on that back porch, and I ain't never heard her get into it with Dad much. But, boy, I tell you what, she lit into him that night. Dave, what you doing, that boy? He's all right. Right? Wasn't long after that he got me my own tiller. Sure did, right? But if I'd have looked back, I would have been way off course. No man, having put in your hand to the plow, looking back is fit for the kingdom. No looking back. No looking back. No regrets. Any kind of mistake, put it under the blood. Come on now. Any kind of miss, put it under the blood. Right? Matter of fact, the Bible lets us know, looking unto Jesus. Come on. Looking unto Jesus, the author, and that's what we're looking for. He started this work in us. He's the one that began that work in us. He's the one that got us to hope for this. He's the one that got our expectation up. So don't look back. Don't look back on, those were good old days. No, they weren't good old days. You're kidding yourself. See? Keep looking forward to the finisher. To the finisher. Are you following this? Okay, let's keep moving. Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm glad I came tonight. Verse 21, Jeremiah 7:21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifice and eat flesh, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. In other words, what he's saying here is obedience is better than sacrifice. Verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined the ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backwards, and not forwards. They went backwards and not forward. A lot of times the obedience that God is asking us to do seems like it's taking us backward. It seems like, how come I got to do this? Or whatever. God's plan never changes. Is to take you and I forward, right? And a lot of times, we can reason ourselves away from obedience to God. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good and the fat of the land, right? Now here, these people heard what they were to do and didn't do it. It's one thing not to know what you're supposed to do, and you walk in your own goofiness, and then it's made real to you what you should have done, right? It's another thing to know what you're supposed to do and don't do it, right? But guess what? They're both forgivable. They're both forgivable. We've all made mistakes where we didn't know what to do and did something anyhow, or where we knew what to do and didn't really do it all the way through, right? But God Folks, don't ever lose sight of the Redeemer. Don't ever lose sight of your new creation reality. He rewards us according to our righteousness. Come on now. Again, righteousness is not an excuse, but it is this place of going to God and saying, God, I missed it. Forgive me for that. Help me go forward from this. Not live the rest of your life in that mess. Not live the rest of your life in, and it might have been something pretty devastating. It might have been, you know, some kind of situation in your marriage or in your business or whatever, something that was really impactful, that it just didn't impact you, but it impacted others, right? But the blood of Jesus, he bringing all your energies into this one thing. Remember that? And we're planning for the future. We're not making excuses for our misses, right? But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have to believe that by faith. Because you can feel guilty. You can feel shamed. You can feel disappointed. You can feel like you're a failure. You can feel, right? But this is what's so powerful about the Word. This is what's so powerful about faith, that faith believes no matter how you feel. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by our feelings, right? Okay. Wow. Got to get here. All right. Exodus 14. Talking about forwardness. Exodus 14. Sometimes it doesn't look like you can go forward. Sometimes it looks like you went backwards in spite of everything you tried to do. See? Exodus 14, verse 13. Are you there? And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today for the Egyptians. The trouble you have seen is over. For the Egyptians who you've seen today, you shall see them again no more. I'm looking for somebody who'll grab this by faith.
Well, I know what that Bible says. It says that all the time.
Well, the Bible also said John 3:16 all the time, but one day you grabbed it. One day you brought it in, and it changed your life. So don't give me this, I'm this high Bible scholar, I know what this verse says, and that big wave just went right by. I'm looking for some people that this is the day. Come on now. Hallelujah. They got Pharaoh and his army breathing down their neck. They got the Red Sea in front of them. You talk about hopeless looking. It looks hopeless. God likes it when it's like that. He just does. Why does he like it like that? Because he gets to flex his muscle. I mean, think about God. He's a creator. Is he bored with your life? Because he can't flex his muscle in your life? See? And right here, they are in trouble all around. No way forward, it appears, and they sure enough can't go back. Next verse says this. The Lord shall fight for you, so shut up. Shut up, you. Hello? You know how you get. Are you, all you was going to do is just say that one thing. That one thing turned into 100. And here you are back again. Lord, forgive me. This is God's moment. This is God's moment in your life. Don't mess it up by running off with the mouth. With doubt and unbelief, or how long it's been, and I don't know how God's going to fix this, and what are we going to do, and here, shut up. Praise the Lord. Me and Mama Alberta, we're pressing on some things in our personal life, and yesterday we sat down, and we're talking this thing out, and she's telling me this, and what she was saying is right, and I'm telling her that, and what I'm saying is right, but it's still 3D. It's still, even though what she's saying is right, what I'm saying is right, it's not the solution. And so inside, the Lord's saying, what are y'all doing? Get up and praise me. I don't feel like praising you. Upright, certainly. Of course you don't. I looked at Mama Alberta. I said, babes, we need to get up and praise the Lord. Yeah, I know. And so she kept on talking. I kept on talking. The Lord said, when y'all done talking, get up and praise me. And I looked at her and said, we got to get out. I actually said this. I said, we got to get out of these chairs. She said, you put some music on. I said, you put some music on. This is where we're at, right? I know y'all ain't never been nothing like that with your sweet self when pressure's on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So she put some music on, and God is my witness. We went to praise the Lord, and I lifted my hands just like this. I praised, the anointing fell on me. I'm not talking about 15 minutes, half hour into praising the Lord, it fell on me. Well, a lot of times it falls on me. He just wants to get my attention, and that's it. It stayed. And I said, Alberta, come here. Come here. She was in the kitchen. I said, come here. She came. We put our arms around each other, and that anointing was just so strong. And here come the word of the Lord. Three words. I got this. You better understand, from that, it's on me right now. From that position, we started speaking personally, and then we started speaking over you all, over this ministry. What I'm here to tell you tonight, hold your peace, shut up, you. God got this. Somebody shout if you believe it. God's got this. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter how long it's been. The Red Sea, God's got a highway right in the middle of that Red Sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord shall fight for you. Glory to God. And you know what happened in our house? Peace. And then me and Mama Alberta looking at each other like, what? No, what? Why'd we wait for this? What? What? The joys of heaven. Right? The joys of heaven. The Lord shall fight for you. Glory be to God. And as soon as they begin to praise, as soon as they begin to praise, I said, as soon as they begin to praise,
The Lord set ambushments. Come on now. As soon as they begin to praise, do I have any praisers in the house? As soon as they begin to praise, I'm here to tell you, God's got this and your trouble is over. Shout if you believe that tonight. Yes. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I said I feel the Holy Ghost in here. There's victory in the house. I don't care how long it's been, what it looks like, God is fighting for you. He's got you on his mind. Yes. 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 Come on, shout, shout, shout. Something's breaking in here. Something's happening in here. Woo! Sit down, sit down. Woo! Hallelujah! It just changed our whole atmosphere. I heard Mama Alberta in bed last night. God, you got this. Hallelujah. Give it to God and go to sleep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. So shut up. Get your praise on. I didn't feel like getting out of that chair. Are you kidding me? And we weren't talking doubt and unbelief, but we were just talking, you know, just really natural. It was revelation what we were talking, but we weren't going nowhere. See? We weren't going anywhere. We weren't going forward. Next verse, please. And the Lord said unto Moses, what you crying about? You just told all them people to shut up. What are you crying about? Speak. Speak unto the children of Faith Victory Church that they go forward.
Well, there ain't no place to go forward. There's a Red Sea there. God knows that.
But as long as you turn around looking at the enemy coming, as long as you sitting there looking at them bills, as long as you keep looking at the doctor's report, as long as you keep looking at these statistics, as long, you're not going to catch that wave. God had it planned, their way of escape, and how to destroy the enemy. It's one thing to have a way of escape. It's another thing that the way of escape has within it the destruction of the enemy. Hallelujah! You know what happens. They get in there and the wheels come off. Chariot. Don't you know that was a revelation? They're just cruising in those chariots. And the wheels fall off. Right in the middle of the Red Sea. God already had a plan. I saw a documentary on the Red Sea. Divers going down. You can still see chariot wheels down there. They got all that stuff growing on it. Right, but you can make out what it is. Still there. Hallelujah. All these years. Glory be to God. Mark 14. Can you hang for just a few more minutes?
Can you go forward just a few more minutes? Mark 14. I'm happy. Because ain't none of us been through what Jesus went through. Mark 14. Say hallelujah when you're there. Verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said, Jesus said to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. This is all substitutionary work. Sore amazed and to be very heavy. His soul is being hit. Like if you took all of our soul battles and combined them together, doesn't even come close to what he's going through. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Now watch this. Verse 35. And he went forward a little. Folks, look at the master. Under that stress, that agony, that attack. He's about to be separated from the Father for the first time in his entire being. He's about to experience spiritual death. And knowing that's coming, he could have called, we used to sing in the Methodist church, 10,000 angels. No, he couldn't. He's already committed to this. He's already committed to it. And to see his destiny be fulfilled, he had to go forward a little and prayed. God just needs you to go forward a little and pray. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Come on now. You ever notice how your prayer life gets attacked? Three of you. Your prayer life gets attacked, you don't even want to pray. Right? And it's at that time you go forward just a little. Just give God a little something to work with. Right? Just a little bit of faith. Come on, just a little bit. Don't go back a little bit. Go forward a little. And Jesus was going forward a little to fulfill destiny. That's substitutionary work. When we're going forward just a little and praying, we're breaking into what Jesus has already provided. Hallelujah. And you don't feel like it at times. That's where faith comes in. Talk about forwardness. We're talking about not drawing back. Right? Okay. Let me take you two more places, okay? And I'll let you go forward. 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 4. You getting anything out of this? Holy Ghost is here tonight. 2 Kings 4, verse 18. And when the child was grown, this is the promise, child, miracle child.
It fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. Now, this is right at harvest time when this hits. You need to understand the enemy tries to hit you the hardest when it's your harvest time. When it's your big harvest time. That's when it seems like he just comes out of nowhere to try to hit you, sift you like wheat to eclipse your faith. See? And when the child was grown and fell on a day, he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Boy, I mean, it's just like that thing just ended. Well, it was good while we had him. God gave us that time with him, and we're just glad we had him for that amount of time. Oh, he had a destiny to fulfill. Come on. So, here, this child dies sitting on her lap. Now, it doesn't tell us how old the child is. You know, we can speculate. But, you know, I'd say 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there. Maybe younger, maybe older, I don't know. But look what she does. Verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Forwardness. Forwardness. Are you following this? Now watch this, verse 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive, go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid you." Drive, go forward, slack not. Sometimes you just got to saddle your ass and put that baby in drive and go forward. That right there brought her child back to life. Not the prophet coming and raising him from the dead. That right there is what got the prophet to be able to raise him. She raised her boy from the dead. God used a prophetic an anointing to do it. But that right there, drive, go forward, slack not. Put that baby in drive. Bam! Go forward. I don't care what it looks like. This is how we must walk this walk of faith. No matter what it looks like. No matter how big the mountain is. You know, I was telling Mama Alberta, my third grade teacher, Mrs. Rohr, godly little woman. She was about this tall and about this wide. And just always had a smile on her face. And she would teach math. And we, you know, us boys, we just couldn't figure this out, figure that out. And she would say this over and over and over again. "You're making a mountain out of a molehill." And she'd say it over and over again. So much so that here I am going to be 66, and I still remember in third grade, Mrs. Rohr saying, "You're making a mountain out of a molehill." You know a little molehill? But you made a mountain out of that thing. Right? Why are you staring at it? You're magnifying it. Right? God just needs us to go forward a little. Right? Let's close with this. Genesis 26. Genesis 26.
I sense victory in the house. Verse 1. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "What are you getting messed up in the world. Don't do that. Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac obeyed God. He dwelt in Gerar." Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went what? Went what? Forward and grew until he became very great. Whatever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Even if he said something to you in the past and you didn't do it, repent of it and go back and do it. Are you following? God's not up there keeping score. He's our Father, right? But we can hinder our harvest by not following his lead. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Now, look at this in the New King James Version. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Notice the law of progression here. Notice it. Remember Mark chapter 4? First the blade, then the ear, then the fruit, full fruit in the ear. Remember that? Right? Look at the process here. The man began to prosper. The New King James says in place of he went forward, it says continued prospering. Continued. He didn't stop when he began to prosper. Now, see, a lot of people, when they see a little something, a little daylight, a little bit of God shining in their life, they stop right there. And God's plan was to go way beyond that, right? The first thing that happened, he began to prosper. That's the blade. And then he went forward and continued to prosper. Right? That's the ear. Now here is where we want to go. Until he became very prosperous. That's the full fruit in the ear. And the Lord began to speak to me as I was praying in the Holy Ghost this afternoon. He said, a lot of the people in Faith Victory Church have come to the ear, and it's time for the full fruit in the ear. They're not blade anymore. They are ears now, and it's time for the full fruit in the ear. Come on, someone. That's becoming very prosperous. How's God going to do it? Don't know. How's he going to roll back to Red Sea? Don't know. Don't know. How's he going to make a ship sink and catch a fish? Don't know. How's he going to multiply fish and loaves? Don't know. How's he going to turn water into wine? Don't know. Bible says in the law of progression, we cast the seed in the ground.
The earth bringeth forth first the blade, then the ear, full fruit in the ear. We're supposed to sleep. We're supposed to give it to God. We're supposed to realize that God's got this, and we don't know how. But when the wave comes, we put in the sickle. We recognize it's harvest time. We recognize this is our moment. This is our season. We're not waiting till Christmas time. We're not waiting for the Can camp meeting. We're not waiting for next year. We're not waiting for another prophet to come in here and prophesy. I'm telling you, we're on it now. Shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does your spirit bear witness with that? That it's your time. Hallelujah. We're going forward. Operation Faith. What is it? Forward. Action. In total harmony. How prophetic is that? See? But God knew we'd be right here, right now. Now, when I was getting ready tonight, the Lord said this. Are you ready for fast forward? You know that little button? When you're just on play and you want to get ahead because that's not where you want to be and you hit fast forward. Boy, I'm looking for somebody. God's going to hit your fast forward button. Where you've been playing over and over again, that's not where you're supposed to be. And God is going to hit that fast forward button in your life. Touch your people tonight, Master. Hit that button. Expedite prophecy. Jack and the Beanstalk ain't got nothing on God. You know where he threw them beans out the window and all of a sudden that thing just... I don't know. Hallelujah. Fast forward. Fast forward. Look at your neighbor and shout, fast forward. Well, there's an anointing in here. Hallelujah. Thank God for Friday night services. Glory to God. Fast forward. Been playing in that one spot too long. Remember the cassette tape days? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get them old cassette tapes. And the song we wanted to hear was on the end of that side. I don't hear the other four songs before it. Well, let's just push play. We won't hear that. Well, let's just let it play. No, we won't hear that. Ah, that's where we're supposed to be. That's where we're supposed to be. That's where we're supposed to be. Now they playing my victory song. Now they playing heaven sounds right there. Come on, somebody. God's going to hit your fast forward button. Hallelujah. Suddenly, our God comes on the scene. Suddenly, we're like them that dream. Come on, somebody. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. What happened? He hit the fast forward button. He took us from crying tears to shouting the victory, bringing our harvest with us. Hallelujah.
It's good to be home. Hallelujah. It's just good to be home. Praise the Lord. That anointing is on me. I'm just trying to figure out how to. I'm trying to figure out. You can't figure it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Go back to that 2 Corinthians 4:18 media in that other translation. We do not look at what we can see right now. The trouble's all around us. But we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we've not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over. But the joys to come will last forever. Philippians 4:13 in the other translation. The Living Bible. No, dear brothers, dear sisters, I'm still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You got one more good shout in you? Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Yes! We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Woo! Glory to God. Well, we're going to take up our world outreach offering. It's all this supports our radio and television. If you need to give an envelope, hold your hand up. The ushers will wait on you. My goodness. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah. Anybody remember wagon train? Forward! Ho! Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Just go forward a little. Just a little. And what's a little with God, He'll make much. All we have are these 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Bring them to me. Bring them little fishes to me. Watch what I do with them. Go forward just a little. Just a little. Press through in that prayer time. Little. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for releasing that anointing in this house tonight and beyond. And I thank you, Lord God, that all those that hear this word grab it, receive it, and move forward in it. It's our time. We're catching the wave. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Now bless both gift and giver in a hundredfold accelerated fashion. Continue to further our radio voice and television voice. And I thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Bring it, happy. Fast forward. Jesus. Sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks. Oh, Jesus, you all are something else. I love y'all. And me and Mama Alberta, I told her, I said, it's so good to be back with our people. And I started naming them all. Amen. Then I started naming off everybody. Everybody. Just started naming y'all off. And because I picture you, carry you in my heart. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay. I guess this is where we go forward. Amen. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go their way. Spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Share the love of Jesus with those around you. We'll see you Sunday. Be a blessing.